For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks of the Go Birds Pod here for Tuesdays with Elliot, brought to you by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. Schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. I can tell you from personal experience, Groundworks is excellent, and I'm not worried about my basement anymore, which has improved my life tenfold. Hey, Elliot.
As someone that used to have to worry about their basement, you are telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
You sleep better at night.
Oh, yeah.
You can enjoy the sound of rain again.
Yes. The stress is gone.
Exactly.
Got those pumps down there working.
Yeah. You can watch running quarterbacks with no problem.
Here we are. Yeah. Here we go again. So,
there it is.
How are you pretty firm in your Eagles sort of focus for Thursday? Are you ready to make a prediction or?
Lock in, E.
So my first, and I'm gonna become a one mock draft guy.
Yes,
no okay. longer like
well, it's
five,
about
six
time.
Of them.
Yes, it's about time.
Maybe it's my older age. I don't
was
know.
Elliot a several mock?
Oh, I was a big time.
Well, he'd also do this thing where he'd release like a 7-round mock, which is a waste of everyone's time.
No one
cares.
Well, good news. My only 7 mock draft comes out tomorrow.
No, you're not doing 7-round mocks.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah, he definitely
It'll be
is.
In the Go Birds feed. Yes. So.
Well,
but
wait
I'm
a minute.
Only
Hold
the
up.
Eagles pick. Oh,
okay.
I have it right here.
Yeah,
I'm
he's doing strictly
all
Eagles picks.
Picks.
Yeah.
No,
he's strictly.
Only the 7 Eagles.
Yeah, his mock, his mock first round, he doesn't, you don't do the draft. He doesn't teams.
No.
Yeah.
Well, how do you do the mock? Well, hold on.
Yeah, he doesn't do other teams.
Hold on. Time out.
This is where we break it down. Yes.
Yeah. Let's do it.
How do we do a 7-round Eagles mock without doing the other teams?
Well, privately, I think like...
Yeah, he's going by players he wants.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying my pick at 32 is based off of who I think will be there.
Okay.
But I'm just not releasing picks 1 through 31.
But you do them?
In my head.
A little shady.
I don't
sounds
write
like
it
a,
down.
Sounds like a half-assed one. Sounds a half-assed
Well,
one.
Those are always the 7-round mock drafts.
So all the research is done.
All the research is done, yes.
Did you want to reveal who you have the Eagles taking?
Yeah, I can do it right now if you
just 32. Give us who you have them taking.
I'm just
32.
Saying, to have the biggest impact of revealing, I don't know if you're going to get any bigger than here.
That's a good point.
Well, the Go Birds feed is available in all your podcasts.
All podcasts.
Why don't you shove it?
Yeah.
So I think if I had to place money on the player most likely to be an Eagle by the end of night one, it's Walter Nolan.
That's the one I keep hearing.
Yeah. There's a bunch of reasons. One, it seems like he is going to be drafted later than initially thought. And mock drafts aren't always the end-all be-all, but a lot of mock drafts have him going later and like in the 20s, even to the Eagles at 32. But he just screams like Howie player. He is probably undervalued because he didn't have like an outstanding college career. He's an outstanding athlete. He has similar measurables to Jalen Carter. And I think he has pass rush upside. So as much as they like Jordan Davis and they can be optimistic about Moro Ojomo, and I don't even think it's replacing Milton Williams. I think it's just you put a pass-rushing defensive tackle who's also good against the run next to Jalen Carter, and it makes Jalen Carter so much better. So I think when you take into account, they're more likely to trade up than back, in my opinion, and I think he'll be obtainable. I think he would be my number one, The number two for me would be Donovan Esaraku in terms of most likely. And then three for me would be Nick Skowerton.
That's most likely at 32?
Most likely to be their first pick of the draft.
Okay.
So I think Donovan Esaraku would be a trade-up candidate. I think Nick Skowerton would be a potential trade-back candidate, or just take him at 32 if you don't like any of the offers. And I think Walter Nolan is the guy they would like to leave the first round with.
Ike, are you happy if they leave the first round with Walter Nolan?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's one of my guys.
Yeah.
So I did want to ask Ike, though, about Michael Williams out of Georgia.
Yeah.
It seems like you like him,
or
at least you think the team maybe likes him.
Yeah.
But for me, he didn't seem like a great prospect, mm-hmm. but obviously, football guys. Like, what do you like about him?
No, I just like his size. I think he's one of these big freak athletes that there's a lot more room to sort of mold him into what you want him to be.
So, to me,
there's a lot more to work with him.
So I would agree with that. And I think he's a potential pick because I do think he's being under-discussed and under-drafted, especially as like a premium Georgia defensive lineman. What I do like about him is I think he could play defensive tackle too because of the size you mentioned. So he would have position versatility. I just don't love like the pass rush right now. But I think to your point, he's just a big guy you hope to develop.
Well, and here's the other thing you got to sort of look at. If they want a premier end rusher, then go up and get him.
Yep.
You got draft capital. Use it. Go up and get a guy that you know is a off-the-edge guy.
James Pierce Jr.
Yeah, that you're going to get sacks from.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is a guy that is sort of a tweener, playing where you think he fits best. There is some of that interior pass rushing you could do with him, lining him up next to Jalen Carter, has that ability to do that. The whole Georgia connection. To me, it's them. The problem with this draft, ultimately, in my opinion, is there aren't enough special players in the draft.
I 100% agree with you.
So when you look at the draft, a lot of this is projection. That's what a lot of it is. I don't think the draft, when they say the draft is deep and defensive end, and I say the only guy who seemingly is being talked about like he's a special player is Abdul Carter.
I think what they're saying is there's a lot of Bs.
Yes.
There's a lot of B guys at a certain position.
They're not telling you it's a lot of special guys.
Right.
They're saying there's not a lot of separation of the guys.
And that's why I do agree with you that if there's someone sitting there at 23 that they really like have conviction and go get him. I'm fine with that. I'd rather have two less draft picks and get the guy you like at 23 instead of wait for one of 7 to 32. But where I would be surprised is just like, I don't know, like, James Pierce Jr., Donovan Esaraku, like, is there a big difference between the guys that aren't Abdul Carter?
I
think that is where, and at 32, it's hard to reach at 32, because you really are just evaluating at that point. It's not like when they're drafting 10th or 11th, and there's 13 guys that everybody agrees are the best player. Like, you have to.
What pick did we take Marcus Smith at?
26, I believe.
You can reach.
Yeah, well, you can. But the Marcus Smith point is actually a good one, too, because I think that was their evaluation. That was a bad evaluation, obviously. But at 32, you're picking from a larger selection of players that are potential picks there. So I think that is more about like your evaluation, who you like, as opposed to trying to maybe follow a consensus draft.
And that's why I believe when you get a draft like this, sometimes relying on familiarity and what's more likely to happen that's going to lead you to success is the safer route to go.
Yeah.
It's just a safer route to go. It's a cleaner pick. There's more likelihood that he doesn't. See, when you're picking these players this early, you're asking yourself, is he more likely to become a star player or a starter versus is he more likely to become a starter versus a bust?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you got to, you know, sometimes you can't get the star player, but you also don't want the guy who has the lower floor where you can be like, this is boom or bust.
So
you want more of a safe pick when you're there, and that's what leads me to the Georgia guys.
Mm-hmm.
They've done more homework on those players than anybody, I would imagine.
We'll get to Elliot's point right after Jack tells you this.
Yeah, listen, come on. I talk about National Appliance Warehouse.
It's the best.
I'm part of their family. You walk in there, you feel like you're a part of their family. Spike's a part of the family.
I'm part of the family.
My parents are a part of the family.
My whole
listen,
friggin' kitchen.
Hey,
you saw how pretty it was. That's how
you sent me a photo of the kitchen. Kitchen's looking clean. Kitchen's looking clean with
stainless
a lot of
steel.
With
you see all that stainless steel from the National Appliance Warehouse?
get excited all about these appliances, right, baby. You can get all of your appliance needs at National Appliance Warehouse down in tax-free Delaware. There are showrooms in tax-free Wilmington and Middletown, Delaware. 15,000 square feet, over 100 brands from sub-zero to budget. Whatever you need appliance-wise, National Appliance Warehouse has for you. You're going to get the best price possible. Obviously, being in tax-free Delaware helps. Also, they have great savings events, but the main thing is Price Assure, which is a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store if it finds a lower price elsewhere. But on top of all that, you're going to get a great experience. That's guaranteed by Mark Stamack, who's built a difference-making culture down at National Appliance Warehouse. Visit nationalappliancewarehouse.com, or again, there are showrooms in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
Now, you were saying, Elliot.
So I agree with Ike that I think at 32, you are talking about, do you want to take like a high floor guy that's a safe pick or someone with a higher ceiling? And I think they could be presented with a pretty interesting decision. So it seems like Malachi Starks is not going to be drafted in the teens. And some mock drafts, I saw one this morning, had him falling into the second round. Yep. I don't know if that will happen, but it does seem like he's a late 20s type guy.
I could see him being a high second round pick.
Yeah. And so him versus Nick Emenwerry, to me, out of South Carolina, is like what this draft is all about. Like, I think Nick Emenwerry is a far better, is like a special athlete, but yeah. I don't know if he's a special player.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Player right now. I think Malachi can be a special player right away, but if because of his physical limitations, I don't know if he has that upside that some of the other players do. So at 32, it'll be interesting to see what the Eagles value there. There was that clip from Daniel Jeremiah. I don't know if you guys have heard it, or where it sounds like maybe he's talking about Howie.
Yeah, why don't we play that? So everybody, Jack, do you have that? Here's what he said.
When I started mapping this out, I was I'll tell you afterwards, but with one of the better GMs in the league, and we were going through guys, and it was like you start getting to the end of the round, you start looking at names, and it's like, I know exactly what I'm buying with Mason Taylor. Like the rest of these guys, it's some hit and miss, and he's like, I know exactly who and what he is. So we'll see what happens.
See, I just found that like so unappealing. I don't have, and it didn't sound like Howie to me either. Like Howie, you know, famously has that, I don't know if famously is true, but he has like the quote everyone talks about on his board that got leaked through a video they did or something, where it's like, you got to take big swings. Taking someone at 32 that feels like a safe pick to me, I don't think they're in a position where they have to do that. Like, I would rather them take a big swing than draft someone who you feel like sure can contribute next year, but you don't project to be a special player. Like, this team needs special players.
Are you saying Mason Taylor is or is not a special player?
I don't view Mason Taylor that way.
Do you think they would take a tight end at 32?
I don't. No.
Okay.
So I don't think he's talking about Howie there, because it does not sound like a Howie thing, but, you know, who knows? Maybe Howie's lying to him. But
yeah, I'd be surprised they took a tight end in the first round. Maybe they would trade back and give up a pick and then maybe pick up an extra pick somewhere and then take him if they feel like he's still one of the overall better talents. Like, I'm not opposed.
Colston Loveland to me is someone, if he's at like 23, maybe you consider.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would not take Mason Taylor at 32.
Well,
real quick.
Yeah.
Because cornerback is the other spot.
Mm-hmm.
That I think they could surprise. And here's why I think they could surprise. They could have measurables on the corners that are higher than rush ends that are there. Right?
Higher,
so in other words, you're talking about Michael Williams or what have
right.
you. If you get a Maxwell Harrison there, well, wouldn't you want the guy who grades out higher at a needed position like corner versus taking a guy that's safer? So, and Trey Amos is another one that I would look at the cornerback position.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a corner does make sense for them. I know people look at Quinion and Cooper and go, how could you take another? But let's say they hit again on a corner.
Mm-hmm.
You have that trio in the secondary.
Right.
It'll end up being expensive. But, I mean, that makes I think what happened last year, too, is the corners made the line better. Like, Quinion and Cooper, for so long we saw the Eagles build from the inside out. Last year they were kind of better from the outside in. And I think if you add a great corner opposite Quinion and Cooper, it just makes everyone's life easier on the defensive line.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, because we do have, and Elliot, you have the honor at 3:30, is I will reveal my quarterback YouTube big board.
Oh, excited for this.
At 3:30, yes.
A lot of statue pocket passes.
Well, you never know.
Sure.
You never know. You never know.
Spit it out, Elliot.
Yeah. So let me take you back to 2020.
Okay.
You know, a draft we were all at home for in 2020. In the second round, the Eagles select Jalen Hurts. And it started a firestorm here at WIP the next couple of days. Do you think there is a world where, with the Eagles' second or third round pick, if there's a quarterback they have a high grade on that may have dropped, that the Eagles take a quarterback in the second or third round?
The third round, I think, is very different than the second, first of all. I do not think they will take a quarterback at 64. I think they learned from that mistake.
Well, they learned they won a Super Bowl because of that mistake,
but
in part.
I think they will tell you, like...
But I mean, right? I mean, you're telling me he's the most important player on the team, and if they don't take him,
I agree.
They don't win the Super Bowl, right?
But I think, like, the process there is not... Like, they wanted to keep Carson. Like, let's not act like they took Jalen.
I try to tell people that all the time.
So it worked out for them,
yeah.
But I don't know if they would look at the, like, hysteria that caused and say, let's do it again. And I also think... They probably did believe Carson could handle it. So we can all sit here and go, well, Jalen could handle it. He's not Carson. Like, I don't think it's fair to any quarterback like Jalen or whoever to draft a quarterback at 64.
So I tell you what, they draft that quarterback in the second round, that extension better be coming the next day.
Yeah, yes. Like, Jalen's getting a big
round.
But third round, you could see it happen.
An extension better be coming the next day.
It sounds silly, but I just think the pick at 96 is not viewed the same way as the pick at 64.
I agree.
If, like... I'll be curious to see what you think of Kyle McCord, who I like a lot.
I'm not commenting on my YouTube big board.
I would take him at 96. Now, they really like Tanner McKee. That's another difference, I think, between now and then. Like,
let me tell you, Tanner McKee could be better than every quarterback in this draft, not named Cam Ward and Jackson Dart. Shedeur Sanders.
I'm big on Tanner McKee. I agree with you.
Tanner McKee can enjoy New Orleans for all
I'm just saying, Tanner McKee is better than every other quarterback in this draft.
Let me wait till you hear my scouting. That's all I have to say. Well, let me ask you this. One more question. Let's say the Eagles are sitting at 32. I think this is very unlikely, but let's say the Eagles are sitting at 32 and a certain Shedeur Sanders is still on the board. Do you think they would consider taking him?
No. No shot.
None whatsoever.
Okay. You think they're inviting the Deion Sanders?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Deion Sanders? What about this place?
Oh,
well, I'm just saying, Deion with this place is like a combustible. I mean, you imagine Deion at the introductory presser?
You might as well burn the whole building down there, man.
You know, saying he's already better than Jalen. Like, the interesting name is Milrow out of Alabama.
Well, that's the name that has started popping up all over the place.
It seems like he's going to go in the first round. If he falls to 64, I don't think they would take him. But he has a relationship with Jalen. I could maybe see that. But I don't think they're taking a quarterback.
Well, I know another guy that supposedly had a relationship with Jalen.
What, the
wide receiver?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say the Bronco. I was like, I don't know.
No, it's just like, you know, relationship, whatever
for sure.
That means.
I do not think they would invite the distraction. Because they just saw it. When they brought Jalen in, it ended Carson's career. Like, Carson was on the downfall, but Jalen was the final nail in the coffin.
The difference being, when they took a quarterback...
I make the argument Carson was coming off what could be arguably the best quarterback season other than winning a title. What he did in 2019, coming off that year with the talent... Yeah. Well, with the talent he had around him...
Oh, I remember going into that Seahawks game, I thought Carson had put the demons of the past behind him. Now, unfortunately, he got hurt in that playoff game.
Cheap shot.
Yeah, and that added to it. But we can all sit here and say how tough Jalen is. I don't think any quarterback is built to survive drafting a top backup in the first or second round.
By the way, Spike, since you don't believe me, why do you think the outrage was where it was?
Well, what do you mean?
When Jalen got drafted.
No, I thought they were drafting Carson's replacement.
No, not you.
Yeah.
You were in the minority. You're talking about the outrage from everybody with drafting him. Why do you think that was?
Well, because there was doubt about Carson.
No, there was belief in Carson.
But there was also doubt about Carson.
No, I'm talking about why do you think we reacted the way we did? In other words,
you knew what was about to happen.
Yeah, it wasn't a celebration that they drafted a quarterback. Yeah, it was.
For some of us.
We can't even have a... Well, I'm just saying the majority of people were excited about the season Wentz had just had.
People were like, what did you just do that
for? Yes, why would you do that?
I agree.
If I could ask Howie one question he had to give the complete honest truth to, I think it would be, what did you guys really think of Jalen when you drafted him? Like, Did they think he actually had this in him, or were they truly of the belief of he's a cheap, high-quality backup?
What do you think, Jack, they thought when they took Jalen Hurts?
I think they thought he was a backup.
Really?
Yeah.
I agree.
I think so. I think Jeffrey liked him, but I think they thought
you can like him. It doesn't mean you drafted him to replace Carson Wentz. And that's ultimately what you're asking.
Yeah, I do not think they thought this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I think Jalen has far exceeded their expectations.
Well, I think Jalen said it after the after one of those NFC title games. He said it, didn't he?
Like, I forget the exact quote, but it was something like, "Not everyone wanted me here."
Yeah.
It's something that he has held on to, I think.
So
now he's a champion.
So coming up next,
one of the most influential people in the world.
Coming up next, I will release my YouTube big board for quarterbacks. Any predictions as to who is? I have three. I always have a top three. Do you have any predictions?
Because there's only three good ones in this draft.
Well,
I need to hear your three.
I think you might be wrong.
All of them, not just Eagles guys.
Correct.
Okay.
I think two of these guys, the Eagles could draft.
I didn't watch Shedeur Sanders because they're not going to draft Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
I was wondering if he watched Cam.
Oh, no, Spike
Ward
does. He does a whole big board.
You watched all of them.
I watched all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Jackson Dart seems like.
I'm not saying anything.
Right.
So Jackson
just seems
Dart
like
is
a
your.
Spike guy. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else?
He might be the best quarterback in the draft.
That's not what I think.
So the guy out of Oregon, whose name is it Dylan Brooks?
Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel.
He's small.
Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks is a forward for the Rockets.
Yeah.
Well, he was an Oregon Duck, though.
Was it?
Dylan Brooks was? Oh, yeah.
Beat St. Joe's, I think, though.
He's small, but he seems like your kind of guy.
Okay.
Although he can run, so maybe not.
He's a lefty, though. Lefty quarterback.
He is a lefty.
No interest.
All right.
I'll get out my quarterback notes.
All right.
Since we were talking evaluation.
You're going to have Will Howard in your top three. That's my prediction.
Will Howard?
He's a winner. Okay.
All right. You had him in your top three?
No.
Okay. Well, hold on. He's a Westchester kid, sort of.
He is.
Is he? Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
There's a lot
we take him.
He went to Ohio State. I know that.
So we'll have that. And also an intervention of sorts for Elliot we have coming up next.
Elliot Vengeance.
Yeah. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's always so fun to come on.